Perhaps it was my refusal to use flashback again, which hastened Helena's departure, but I doubt it. I was a toy to her, a primitive who amused her by my innocence about a life she had taken for granted for many decades. Whatever the case, my refusal to flashback left me with many days without her. The time spent in replay is real time, and flashback users often die, having spent more days of their lives under the drug than they ever experienced conscious. At first, I entertained myself with the implants and techno-toys which had been denied to me as a member of an old Earth family. The datasphere was a construct delight that first year. I called up information almost constantly, living in a frenzy of full interface. I was as addicted to raw data as the caribou herd were to their stims and drugs. I could imagine Don Balthazar spinning in his molten grave as I gave up long-term memory for the transient satisfaction of implant omniscience. It was only later that I felt the loss. Fitzgerald's Odyssey, Woo's Final March, and a score of other epics, which had survived my stroke, now were shredded like cloud fragments in a high wind. Much later, freed of implants, I painstakingly learned them all again. For the first and only time in my life, I became political. Days and nights would pass with me monitoring the Senate on Farcaster cable, or lying tapped into the All-Thing. Someone once estimated that the All-Thing deals with about 100 active pieces of hegemony legislation per day, and during my months spent screwed into the sensorium, I missed none of them. My voice and name became well known on the debate channels. No bill was too small, no issue too simple or too complex for my input. The simple act of voting every few minutes gave me a false sense of having accomplished something. I finally gave up the political obsession only after I realized that accessing the All-Thing regularly meant either staying home or turning into a walking zombie. A person constantly busy accessing on his implants makes a pitiful sight in public. And it didn't take Helena's derision to make me realize that if I stayed home, I would turn into an All-Thing sponge like so many millions of other slugs around the web. So, I gave up politics. But by then, I had found a new passion. Religion. I joined religions. Hell, I helped create religions. The Zen Gnostic Church was expanding exponentially, and I became a true believer, appearing on HTV talk shows and searching for my places of power with all the devoutness of a pre-Hijra Muslim pilgrimaging to Mecca. Besides, I loved farcasting. I had earned almost 100 million marks from royalties for the dying Earth, and Helena had invested well, but someone once figured that a Farcaster home such as mine cost more than 50,000 marks a day just to keep in the web, and I did not limit my Farcasting to the 36 worlds of my home. Transline Publishing had qualified me for a gold universal card, and I used it liberally, Farcasting to unlikely corners of the web, and then spending weeks staying in luxury accommodations and leasing EMVs to find my places of power in remote areas of backwater worlds. I found none. I renounced Zen Gnosticism about the same time Helena divorced me. By that time, the bills were piling up, and I had to liquidate most of the stocks and long-term investments remaining to me after Helena had taken her share. I was not only naive and in love when she had had her attorneys draw up the marriage contract, I was stupid. Eventually, even with such economies as cutting down my farcasting and dismissing the android servants, I was facing financial disaster. I went to see Tarenna Wingreen Fief. No one wants to read poetry, she said, leafing through the thin stack of cantos I had written in the past year and a half. What do you mean? I said. The Dying Earth was poetry. The Dying Earth was a fluke, said Terenna. Her nails were long and green and curved in the latest Mandarin fashion. They curled around my manuscript like the claws of some chlorophyll beast. It sold because the mass subconscious was ready for it. Well, maybe the mass subconscious is ready for this, I said. I was beginning to get angry. Terenna laughed. It was not an altogether pleasant sound. Martin, 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 she said, this is poetry. You're writing about Heaven's Gate and the caribou herd, but what comes across is loneliness, displacement, angst, and a cynical look at humanity. So? So no one wants to pay for a look at another person's angst, laughed Terenna. I turned away from her desk and walked to the far side of the room. Her office took up the entire 435th floor of the transline spire in the Babel section of Tau Ceti Center. There were no windows. The circular room was open from floor to ceiling, shielded by a solar-generated containment field which showed no shimmer whatsoever. It was like standing between two gray plates, suspended halfway between the sky and earth. I watched crimson clouds move between the lesser spires half a kilometer below, and I thought about hubris. Terenna's office had no doorways, stairways, elevators, field lifts, or trapdoors, no connection to the other levels at all. One entered Terenna's office through the five-faceted farcaster, which shimmered in midair like an abstract holosculpture. I found myself thinking about tower fires and power failures, as well as hubris. I said, "Are you saying that you won't publish it?" "Not at all," smiled my editor. "You've earned Transline several billion marks, Martin. We will publish it. All I'm saying is that no one will buy it." "You're wrong," I shouted. "Not everyone recognizes fine poetry, but there are still enough people who read to make it a bestseller." Terenna did not laugh again, but her smile slashed upward in a twist of green lips. "Martin, Martin, Martin," she said. "The population of literate people has been declining steadily since Gutenberg's day. By the 20th century, less than 2% of the people in the so-called industrialized democracies read even one book a year, and that was before the smart machines, data spheres, and user-friendly environments. By the Hegira, 98% of the hegemony's population had no reason to read anything, so they didn't bother learning how to. It's worse today. There are more than 100 billion human beings in the world web, and less than 1% of them bothers to hard fax any printed material, much less read a book. The Dying Earth sold almost 3 billion copies, I reminded her. Mm-hmm, said Terenna. It was the Pilgrim's Progress effect.
The what?
Pilgrim's Progress effect. In the Massachusetts colony of, what was it, 17th century old Earth, every decent family had to have a copy in the household. But my heavens, no one had to read it. It was the same with Hitler's Mein Kampf, or Stukatsky's Visions in the Eye of a Decapitated Child. Who was Hitler, I said. Terenna smiled slightly. An old Earth politician who did some writing. Mein Kampf is still in print. Transline renews the copyright every 138 years. Well, look, I said, I'm going to take a few weeks to polish up the cantos and give it my best shot.
Fine, smiled Terenna.
I suppose you'll want to edit it the way you did last time.
Not at all, said Terenna. Since there's no core of nostalgia this time, you might as well write it the way you want.
I blinked. You mean, I can keep in the blank verse this time?
Of course.
And the philosophy?
Please do.
And the experimental sections?
Yes.
And you'll print it the way I write it?
Absolutely. Is there a chance it'll sell? Not a hope in hell.